Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said Apfelstrudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Listen!
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo podcast. My name is Philip Musin, and today I'm joined by Per Schneider,
hey.
Brian Altano,
hello,
and Casey DeFrites.
Hey guys.
Welcome back, everyone.
Thank
good
you.
To have you here this week. How's everyone doing?
Great. Pretty good.
Yeah? Yep. Very cool. Zach is out this week. He's actually going to be out for the rest of the month. He's very busy planning our E3 schedule, so thank you very much for doing that for us, Zach. But we have Casey here, which is very nice, returning for a second time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
To talk about
we've got so much stuff to talk about this week. It's going to be a very, very leak-heavy episode. You could say that this episode is a bit leaky itself.
Or rumory?
Rumory. Leaky rumors. Rumory leaks. Yes, any way you want to put it. So be prepared for that. Nothing here is official when we're speaking about these leaks.
It's all lies. This entire episode is going to waste your time.
Yeah, but obviously, like, if you've been paying attention to the news, in the media. Thanks, Pear. It's all lies. If you've been paying attention to the news and the media, there's been a ton of Pokemon Switch leaks. We allegedly have a name. We have a possible setting and, you know, premise for the game, which is really interesting. We're going to get to all that. We also have possible Star Fox rumors and leaks that we could be getting a sort of spin-off game coming to Switch, which we're going to run down through a little later. And as well as Nintendo filing some very interesting trademarks a little bit ahead of E3. So want to talk about that. But before we get into all of that great stuff, let's go ahead and circle back to the Pokemon Switch leaks, because I've been dying to really get into this and just kind of pick all of your brains as well as the chat's brains about what, how everyone feels about all this stuff. So let me just sort of intro this real quick. I know I'm talking a lot here. Thank you. The leaks essentially all began, earlier this week when industry insider Emily Rogers stated in a blog post that Pokemon for Switch, is set to be revealed before the end of May. And she said that the naming and the branding for it will raise a few eyebrows. So a few hours after...
Two max per person.
A few hours after Emily's post, a 4chan user actually uploaded an alleged image of... like the Pokemon Switch title, which we now know, or we now are aware that these leaks are pointing to, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. So obviously we'll be getting two different versions, like we normally do whenever there's, a Pokemon release, a core title Pokemon release. So if you're watching the video podcast right now, this is actually one of the logos that leaked, for specifically Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. And, Pear, you know a little bit of, Japanese,
well,
right?
It says Pokéto Monster and then Pikachu. Yeah, I mean, that's what the franchise is known in Japan. In the U.S., it was never trademarked as Pocket Monster because that's a Roald Dahl old franchise that was already trademarked over here.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so Nintendo went with the shortened version Pokémon, which is what everybody calls it really in Japan.
Weirdly, the Let's Go part of that font was the same font that they use in Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Well, that's the question. Huh. Is this logo real? Did somebody draw it based on something they saw? Mm-hmm. Is it bull, right? Like, it looks a little bit like I made it with some felted pens or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen my felted part.
It's a cutesy looking logo. Yeah.
But it's very plausible again.
And it's very plausible, especially because the company that tends to, purchase trademarks or file for trademarks also filed for this trademark, which probably means Let's Go is the correct title.
I feel like it's real just because of the phrasing sounds so Nintendo. Yeah.
I was completely taking everything with so much salt.
Yep.
I was like, I'm not going to believe this. I don't believe that screenshot we saw a few months ago. But then as soon as Serebii, I saw on the Twitter that Serebii tweeted that
if
you're in, you're a believer.
Yeah. If you take something with so much salt, I think that means you really believe it. A grain of salt would be like, I'm not really buying this.
Well, grain of salt.
I'm leaning towards Casey's side of things too, where I actually think that there could be some truth here. So it's definitely worth looking into. Now the games will supposedly be like full on remakes of Pokemon Yellow, which makes sense because they've already remade Red and Blue, right? Fire Red and the other blue
and
one.
And Leaf Green.
Yeah, as well. So the games will also be supposedly heavily integrated with Pokemon Go, and the act of catching Pokemon will be very similar to how Pokemon are caught in Pokemon Go, like, which could be a good thing. That's something that I alluded to, like, I don't know, two or three episodes.
Did you feel that was one of the strongest suits in Pokemon Go?
I mean, yes, absolutely. Like, actually catching Pokemon is fun. The whole battle system in Pokemon Go is where I think the game falls apart.
I guess the motion and all that is fun, but how do you play that on a Switch when you're not playing in touchscreen mode?
Yeah.
Well, you could use motion controls with your Joy-Con.
Yeah. You could. That would be kind of cool.
I could totally see people, like, you know, even with just a pro controller in hand. Yeah, just kind of swinging it.
Maybe it's one of those things you can turn on or off.
Just don't break your TV.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah. If you turn it on or off, then everyone gets whatever you want.
Thanks for making this work for me. these rumors, sometimes you get rumors where you go, no way, you know, this is going to be wrong. Like you see the titles, you see the concept of an Eevee game and a Pikachu game. You're like, yeah, that's probably it.
It's a blurry photograph of a piece of paper 3 weeks before E3. It has to be real. Historically, look at that. It has to be real. This is the time of year where every major employee from every major console manufacturer, first and second and third party, prints out a list of everything they're working on, and they leave it haphazardly at Quiznos for somebody else to take a photo of.
You laugh.
America's favorite fourth favorite fast food
sandwich chain.
Yeah, nobody would ever leave an Apple phone in a bar either.
That's
that
true.
Hasn't been released.
Actually, right? the way we found out about, I believe it was Destiny, was that somebody went to lunch somewhere and left an entire binder of information about like
that's
art
right.
direction,
yeah.
the title.
Yeah.
Like,
how much do you think they died on the inside?
That probably sucked.
Yeah,
I mean, Assassin's Creed every year is snitched on by the guy sitting behind the guy making the game on a flight.
Yeah, it always happens on an airplane.
Yeah, it's a guy with an iPad Pro, and he's like, I'm really into this new Assassin's Creed game. No. Somebody's like, I know what that is.
I hear you. There's no way of telling whether this is real, but well, like, I just feel like there's so many great indicators.
It feels,
you know,
good, you know, like it feels like it's on the complete implausibility scale of pre E3 leaks. This one feels it's hovering
I'll give
around
this a
normal
7.9 out of 10 plausibility score.
I like that.
I mean, there have been so many, lines like pointing to Pikachu and Eevee being a pair together.
Yeah.
Everything from like the soda pop line that came out a few months ago to the Easter line that was also released. Not to mention the devs themselves have been teasing a ton of Pikachu and Eevee stuff pairing together. I think we have an image. You can throw it up there for the viewers to get a quick look. But apparently one of the Game Freak devs was full on teasing the idea, holding a Pokeball.
Yeah, there we go.
almost as if they were alluding to like what you see when you play Pokemon Go when you're trying to catch something, like the Pokeball's like hovering there, and there you clearly see Eevee and Pikachu sitting together.
And Luigi.
And Luigi,
If you're listening to the show, it's a plushie of Eevee and Pikachu, and then there's a large Pikachu dressed as Luigi, which is far more interesting to me than anything else in this photo. Because if they're crossbreeding those worlds more, then I want in.
But the thing that really
on the game, not the crossbreeding thing.
The thing that really kind of like solidifies this and makes it a real thing for me is the fact that the same company used to register previous Pokemon websites, CSC Corporate Domains, have officially acquired URLs for both Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. Mm-hmm. And that company is the same company that registered the domains for Nintendo.com.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and other big Nintendo franchises as well. So it all is pointing towards this could be very, very real.
Or that company saw a very big opportunity to pull everyone's leg and have a really big laugh in all of our expenses.
Yeah.
That probably wouldn't happen.
Look, I mean, May is almost over, right? We don't have that many days to wait. So we'll find out very soon whether the timing at least is right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I the only thing I would have asked is why not reserve this for E3? This would be a really nice E3 announcement. And why would we get this before the show?
Mm-hmm. I think if this is the case, if we are going to get a big Pokemon announcement, they are holding back because Nintendo already said that they're going to be focusing on Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't think they want to compete with themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you hear about a bunch of huge games.
Yeah.
That's better than hearing about one big game. I don't know. That's just like, me.
So maybe this game wouldn't be coming out this year. It'd be coming out next year.
There it is.
And this is just a small teaser, a title announcement.
Okay. But rumors are pointing towards this being a 2018 title.
Yeah.
I think
who knows?
I think if this is legit, it's probably coming out this year. It seems like it could be well underway. And just, you know, you brought up that image that leaked a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we actually showed it off here on NBC as well. I think we have an image of that as well. If you can remember, like it was like an off-screen image, and we have it floating right there. And now if you look closely and you look on top of the trainer's head,
you see Kirby riding on a giant red arrow.
Yes.
What do you see there?
No, it looks like Eevee chilling on top of the trainer's head. So like that blew my mind when I went back and looked at it. And also just like that river area looks like it could be next to Pallet Town in the Kanto region as well. So it's just, this to me looks like, wait a minute, maybe that image that we all laughed at like a couple weeks ago is actually a legit image from, you know, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee or Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. You know, and you can totally tell it's taken off screen in handheld mode, and it's very blurry, but if you kind of squint and if you look at it at the right angle, you can kind of piece together that it might not be that bad. Now, I know a lot of people might actually be disappointed at the graphical style. We're not getting this massive overhaul that maybe we wanted. I personally wanted a massive, like, overhaul with the art style and the graphics.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, it still looks great in my opinion. And traditionally, new Pokemon games that have been released on Nintendo consoles, on new Nintendo consoles, don't adapt to a new, like, you know, graphical style right away. It's usually the first wave look very similar to what the previous generations looked like as well.
And they would want to, they're motivated to get this out pretty quickly, right? Like their biggest games, Mario Kart, Super Mario Odyssey, Zelda, are out. Now comes the next wave. Smash Brothers arguably being even bigger, and Pokemon being the monster hit.
That's right.
So I think they're very motivated to get this out fast.
Yeah, 2018 so far has been kind of carried by the B team. And I mean that in a good way. I mean, no,
Kirby.
Kirby and Donkey Kong, right? And like Donkey Kong's, there we go. Donkey Kong's a port of a Wii U game, which, you know, has already outsold the Wii U version on Switch. Look at that little cutie.
There's an Eevee on Phillip's head for those of you who can't see.
For those of you listening. It's just wonderful. And then there's Kirby, right? And all his weird friends. So that's good. That's doing great. But yeah, they need to bring out the big guns for this year.
Yep. Let it be this one, because if Nintendo can cap the year with Pokemon and Smash Brothers, the Switch will be the best selling console of the year. Those games are freaking humongous.
There are even more hints pointing that this is real as well as a Kanto remake, because if you play Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, Lily goes to Kanto. If you watch the anime, they go to Kanto. They bring back Brock and Misty. There's been a lot of leaning towards signs. Kanto. Rotom actually asked you, he's like, oh, did you know that Kanto really isn't that far away from Alola? Like,
so they're constantly alluding to it.
To some Kanto-ness.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like all the puzzle pieces are really falling in together. And, you know, it seems like this could be legit, but I want to pull up that 4chan, post. We have an image of that tweet as well that went out showing off or listing a few of the, supposed features. I'm not sure if you guys can see that too well, but if you look at the, post there, it's like the green part with all the green text. They list off some pretty interesting features that could be coming to, this version of Pokemon on Switch, and like, as opposed to like, they'd be swapping, like, for instance, instead of using HMs, you could use the PokéRide concept from Pokemon Sun and Moon. So I want to ask the chat, as well as everyone here on the panel, like, what are some new features that you guys want to see integrated into Pokemon for Switch? Like, also another feature that they had listed was like an online hub world that trainers would be able to like interact with each other and battle and all that stuff. So I'll just go ahead and start it off right now. Two really big ones that I want to see are more than just a hub world, but an actual like shared online world. And, you know, if these leaks are true, I doubt we'll get something like that. But they did speak about like integrating more Pokemon Go style features in the game. So I think something like community driven raids would be really fun. Especially like if they were tied to events where you can get like a legendary or a mythic Pokemon, like getting people to all play at the same time, like the way that, let's say, Destiny does every week, you know, I think that would be cool.
That's mine too. I mean, Pokemon Go did such a nice job with like feeling this kind of like, hey, we're all in this spot together and we're attacking. Like that sort of sense would be nice to replicate. Now, obviously the Switch isn't like a phone in that it's always on and will allow that on like a location based, kind of setup. But, there's gotta be a way to do this online when you're at home to just kind of feel like this community being alive. I would love that too.
Yeah.
So they kind of have that in Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Moon in the Festival Plaza. So every few weeks or so, there's a new challenge that people can do. And collectively, like, for example, catch a million Pokemon.
Yeah.
If a million Pokemon are caught collectively, everyone gets festival coins to spend in that plaza on items.
But it's very asynchronous, right? Like the challenge. It's not like this kind of raid where, hey, there's a dropship coming out of the sky, like in Destiny, and everybody run over.
But how would they do that in Pokemon?
I don't know. Maybe there's a giant Pokemon coming in on one corner of the map and it's like a timed event, like you know.
And enough people have to fight it for you to be able to
have a chance
to catch it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the only thing I can think of that would work.
Yeah, that's how a lot of like online multiplayer games do. They have sort of like event-based weekends and stuff like that, where they're like, if, you know, half a million people pick this team or this team and then they win with this weekend, then everyone gets an award.
Yeah. Collect the the country is infested with Caterpies. Go get them. She's like, this is so dumb.
I don't know. Brian, I know you're not too big on Pokemon, but what would it take for you to get into this version of Pokemon? If if any possibility.
I mean, I don't ever really have a problem getting into Pokemon. I have a problem staying there.
Right, right.
You know, like I always play the first few hours and I'm like, oh, cool. And then I don't know what happens.
Life?
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I put life aside for everything.
To be fair, you play 100 more games that week.
That's true.
So I think you're just you're a multi-gamer.
Maybe. I mean, I do finish a lot of games. Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I think they need to find that right balance of like not alienating newcomers and not pissing off people who've been playing for years.
But you're not a collector type, right? Like when you're playing a game like God of War, do you look in every nook and cranny to find like the extra collectibles, or are you playing for story and completion?
One out of every 10 games will click with me like that, where I'm like, I have to get everything. In God of War specifically, I made my first left and opened a treasure chest, and I was like, okay, this is going to be the game where I don't just, the boy's like, come with me, and I'm like, nah, I got to open this treasure chest.
Yep.
So yeah, that
are you dead? Nope.
Yep.
So I got some people commenting in the chat. Kratos Drake 5 says, returning feature that they want to see is, I want all Pokemon to follow you again.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
that was
cool. Heart Gold and Soul Silver. I don't know why they never brought that back. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I want to bring Charizard into someone's house and scare their small children. Like,
that would be cool. I want to ride around on the Charizard and use it to fly everywhere. That would be really cool.
Yeah, and they have Pokemon ride with Charizard, but you don't actually control the Charizard when he does it. It's just the same fly movement.
Given the development time on this one, I don't think you're going to get it.
Oh, yeah,
this.
No. Uh-huh. I really think this is just an HD upgrade of Sun and Moon. But
Eevee will be present on the map.
Yeah.
You and Pikachu will be present on the map. That's one way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
There are two Pokemon types that are special.
And another thing in Japan, it was actually, the original one wasn't known as Pokemon Yellow. It was known as Pokemon Monsters Pikachu Edition.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that also kind of makes sense as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For it to be a Yellow remake.
Yep.
Carl LC221 in the chat says, take the Pokemon Stadium mini games, add an immersive or an immense variety that are actually good and call it Pokemon Party.
I want it. I want it so bad. I want to be able to connect it to my Pokemon game so I can use my Pokemon in the party game so you could in Pokemon Stadium too.
Yeah. And DK Bingham has a good one. He says, as long as I can play without having to go outside, I'm happy. So yeah, I don't think we have to worry. I mean, like, people are worried about the whole Pokemon Go integration part.
Oh, I see.
Okay. It's like they think they're going to actually have to go and do something.
Hopefully they'll just be cool additions and not necessities.
It won't be an AR game. It's just the setup of the Switch is not right for a game like that.
Yeah, I think it would be cool if we could just import our Pokemon that we already caught on Pokemon Go into the Switch version. Or maybe even like, you know, catch certain Pokemon through Pokemon Go and then have those automatically show up in the Switch version.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, would that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Connection.
I play Pokemon Go a whole lot more.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about this. Honestly, like the more I think about it, the more I want this to be real. Just because it seems like it's a really cool idea, especially with them trying to add minor changes. Like maybe the whole catching system is going to be slightly different. They're, betting harder on the whole online concept, which is cool. It means Nintendo's getting more, excited and accepting of that as well. So, I mean, it's all good things to come.
And we'll get a different shade of yellow for the Joy-Con, for the special edition Joy-Con and flesh brown colored ones for Eevee, right?
Ooh, yeah. Man.
Eevee's kind of flesh.
Don't you already have yellow Joy-Cons for Donkey Kong?
No, they like the glow-in-the-dark
ones.
The neon yellows, yeah.
Those are for arms?
Those are arms, yeah.
They didn't make Donkey Kong yellow ones.
No.
Man, really dropped the ball on that one.
I don't think anybody else bought Joy-Con. It was just me.
I think you keep that business alive.
Yeah.
Single-handedly.
So another big sort of leak that's been floating, or rumor that's been going around, is the Star Fox spin-off game that is supposedly coming from Retro Studios, which would be really crazy. Retro is responsible, of course, for Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, as well as the Metroid Prime trilogy. So it would be very interesting to see them take their hands at Star Fox. So sources within the Nintendo fan community have been in contact with us, and they told us that the game would essentially come out in 2019, and it would feature an open world hub similar to Diddy Kong Racing for the N64. And our sources also suggested that the Grand Prix would be made of up to three races that can culminate in a boss battle and battle and the players will be able to compete online.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff here. Core gameplay essentially combines timed races and shooting in that each defeated enemy results in a speed boost that would improve player lap time. Each Grand Prix is three tracks with a boss fight where the boss comes onto the track just like in Diddy Kong Racing. And it also will feature a big hub area where you can interact with Star Fox characters.
Mm.
So, like, that all sounds great to me. And then we also heard from Liam Robertson, who's also an industry insider and a great person to follow on Twitter if you're interested in this kind of stuff. He says that the game is not at all like F-Zero. It's more of a he's seen a more complete version of the logo, and I think we have the logo here. It was actually passed along to us to Star Fox Grand Prix. There you can see it. And he was also told that Star Fox Grand Prix was actually a tentative title, so there could be something else coming up. And the game looks really good in motion, apparently.
So that was what I heard, was that it is a stunner visually.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be very impressive. I love the idea of taking Star Fox and doing something different with it. And when I initially heard about this rumor, I didn't think it was real, honestly, because I felt like it was a little bit of a fan dream where it's like, well, Retro took one Rare franchise and did the same thing as Rare, you know, with Donkey Kong. It's like, well, Retro made Star Fox Adventures and had little flying sections in it. It just kind of felt a little bit too on the nose.
Yeah.
If this is true, and you know, we kind of started hearing it from more people. I haven't heard it from anybody in the development community. I've only heard it from the kind of Nintendo fan community. Mm-hmm. And and media. I think it's really interesting because, like, Star Fox has not been the most successful franchise in Nintendo's stable, and the characters are popular in Smash Brothers, and Smash Brothers, obviously, we're getting a new one, and so it's good for them to build these characters. But, like, Star Fox didn't have that, like, it didn't have a hook the way, like, Mario Kart does, the way Smash Brothers does, in a kind of competitive sense, and, like, this sounds like it does have that, because if you imagine that you're playing a multiplayer race, like in a shooter, and you see your enemies flying ahead of you and you can shoot them to slow them down. You can land perfect combos. Remember how you could lock onto multiple enemies in Star Fox?
Yeah.
So when you complete a combo that you get a speed boost, that sounds really cool to me.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds like a really cool competitive shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really think of any game that is played like that.
No, not really. I like the idea of this game looking really good because I think a lot of people forget that was kind of a concept that was intrinsically connected to Star Fox as a franchise at its core from the start. I mean, when we first saw it on Super Nintendo with the Super FX chip and on N64 with the Rumble Pack, like technology and Star Fox and graphical prowess kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like, the original Star Fox game is some of the first polygons we got to see on the Super Nintendo. There was a couple games using that chip, but that one was the one that stuck out. I mean, the R-Wing to this day, that iconic design is based on minimalist polygon usage, and still to this day you look at it and you recognize it immediately. And then the franchise kind of, there we go, one just flew by. Nope. The franchise just kind of lost its way since then, or found its way again, or kind of went all over the place quality wise sales wise it was never really something that knocked it out the park. It experimented with a lot of, like, I lack of a better term, gimmicks, you know, a lot of touchscreen stuff, motion control stuff that we saw on Switch. It did the crossover with a sort of Zelda style game with
strategy stuff.
Yeah, strategy stuff.
On the PS,
and we saw adventures. So it's, like you said, I think people really have a great connection to that game on a nostalgia level. And, you know, like you think of quotes from the N64 version, do a barrel roll and press the R twice. Those became memes.
Yep.
People love those characters in Smash Brothers, like you said. But in terms of actually really enjoying those games every few years, I don't think there isn't like really a big connection there. So going in and overhauling what that could be and attaching it to a brand new genre is incredibly interesting.
And giving a company that I think is known for cranking out pretty impressive visuals, right? Like you could say that, well, the team that's working on this and Donkey Kong is not the same that worked on Metro Prime. Obviously, there are a ton of people who are still at Retro, didn't leave, right? That's always the story that you hear. Is like, well, this is not the same Retro. It's like, Donkey Kong, these games do a lot with the 2D setup, the way bosses are animated, the special effects that they do with the multi-layered stuff, the animations, the kind of deformations. There's so much in those games. And like, That's been, I mean, I believe in Retro being able to crank out a game, a Star Fox game that will dazzle us visually.
Yeah, I totally agree. My first reaction to reading this story was, kind of doubt, because I was like, I don't believe that this is true, but why go head to head with Mario Kart? That is like the best selling, most established kart franchise on earth. It's an arcade racer. Nintendo owns it. They've built a DLC on it. They've ported it to Switch. It's selling gangbusters. It's not selling some of their, you know, kind of more significant first party offerings. And then I read more and thought more, and I was like, oh, there's so much more you can do with these characters, with this world, with this setting.
It'll feel different. Right. Flying feels so different, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So,
and 2019. I mean, this Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is an extension of a game that came out years ago, right? The fact that it's selling so well is awesome. But by 2019, I'm sure it's going to have dropped off, don't you think?
Yeah. And I think about people who grew up with the N64. There were people that really loved Mario Kart and really loved Diddy Kong Racing. And then there were people like me that really like both. And I think there's room for both to exist. So
yeah, we'll see. I agree with you guys. I think it'll feel different enough, as opposed to like how Mario Kart feels. And Nintendo historically like has always had a lot of trouble finding a place for Star Fox, like where it could fit, and what kind of game it could really be. Because like rail shooters these days are, they're not really doing it for most people out there, at least not the masses. So I feel like sort of reinventing the franchise and restarting it like this could be an interesting angle. It could work very well for them. Yeah. Especially like, as you had mentioned before, it adds that competitive feel to Star Fox that it so needed. I mean, it did have competitive modes before, but nothing really.
They were very much an afterthought, not core to the game like, say, Splatoon would have. And that'd be awesome if this was really built into the game from the get-go. So when I lived in Tokyo many, many years ago, there was a motion ride called, I think it was called UCC Starport. UCC is like a Japanese coffee brand. You know the little cans you get?
Yeah. Yep. I love those.
UCC Kohi. You get them everywhere. But they had this pop-up motion ride like a Star Tours. And like Star Tours already existed, but this was better. And it was exactly like a Star Fox race.
Oh, wow.
Like the way it was set up, they were even, you'd go around these tracks and like it tilts you back and forth, and there would be like holes in walls where only your racers could fit through by rotating and stuff. And it was like four people racing against each other. And I immediately thought of this. And it was super exciting. It was
That's
awesome.
Great.
Like if they can pull off something like that, sign me up.
Yeah, I'm really into it.
Before we move on, I have a few more things to say, but I want to get a poll started because I want to get the chat's opinion. Would you guys be interested in a Star Fox racing game on Switch with everything that you just heard us say, talking about the game and how it could be? Would that be a game that you'd be interested in checking out? And also, I'm definitely not ignoring the polls. I can see the chat right now. I do have to host the show while I do all this stuff. So no, Alana, I am not ignoring the polls. But thank you very much for starting that. Because they just made a poll asking, does Philip hate our polls? And the winner was Mutiny, which I guess means yes, that I do hate the polls. But I don't. I love the polls. Please keep them coming. And please keep chatting. I'm doing my best to keep up with everyone here. What I did want to say, Casey and I were talking very briefly about Dinosaur Planet or Star Fox Adventures, should say. Yeah. And sort of how, you know, Rare was originally working on a game called Dinosaur Planet right before. Was it before GameCube came out, or like was GameCube already released?
No, it was before. Yeah.
It was before GameCube, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Rare was working on Dinosaur Planet. They pitched it to Nintendo, and Miyamoto said, hey, that main character looks a lot like Star Fox. Let's just put Star Fox in. Let's make this a Star Fox game. Which sort of kind of pissed everyone off, I think. It pissed off Star Fox fans. It kind of, Rare wasn't too happy about it. Like, they knew the potential of what, you know, using the Star Fox franchise could mean for that game, but that wasn't a Star Fox game that people wanted at the time.
Well, and again, like this game, it was designed to be a Zelda clone with dinosaurs and animals and stuff. The ultimate furry adventure game. And then it got kind of like that, it got retconned into the Star Fox universe.
Right.
With the flying sequences were kind of lame, right?
Like they were almost short.
They were loading screens, and they actually looked nice. Yeah. They were pretty, and we're like, wow, if we could get a full Star Fox game like this. I don't know. I enjoyed the game when it came out.
I loved it. Yeah, but I had a lot of fun.
But
you could
tell it was
not enough for you.
Not like that game.
Well, Ucha Kucha Star Fox, like all the voice acting
remember
was really
Prince
bad.
Tricky, that awful
Prince Tricky was Prince the best.
No,
you could change his colors by playing with him.
Had a stick. That was the best.
Yeah,
ball.
But it had some really cool mechanics introduced to the open world. The problem was like everything you'd find, and Rare games suffered from this. Like everything was like, oh my god, I found it. I don't know what it is. And it's like floating in front of you for 5 minutes and you're like, I don't know what this does.
Yeah.
Like there was just like collectible madness in this game. Mm-hmm. A poppy seed thing that I don't know what it does.
Yeah. That was not a great game.
It was good.
Okay. If you wanted to play a Zelda game on GameCube.
Yeah.
But
what would you play? Wind Waker?
Yeah. Okay.
Or Star Fox Goes to Dinosaur Town?
That's not
you have a dinosaur pet. In Wind Waker.
No.
So you play.
Clearly that nurturing component was lost on Brian.
Yeah. You get a Tingle Tuner.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to have.
The Tingle Tuner. Nobody saw the Tingle Tuner. The original.
Well, we still have a little over a minute left on the poll, but I can clearly see who's going to win right now because we do need to move on. But 76% or 77% of the chat is saying that yes, they would be interested in a Star Fox Racing game like this on Switch. So there you go. And I thought more
people would hate it. I thought more people would say don't go into racing as a genre. But I do think it makes sense because it gives you more of a goal. It ceases being this linear game where like, well, I've seen this level. I've defeated this boss and seen all the spiders crawling around. I'm done with this. This gives you a purpose to go back.
Do you know what makes this an easier pill to swallow? It is the Metroid Prime 4 logo that we saw at E3 last year. Had we not seen that, everyone at this table, we'd be smashing this table.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
No, totally. If you said to me today, oh, we don't know anything about Metroid Prime 4, but Retro's working on a Star Fox Racing game, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I'd be losing my mind.
Yeah.
Flipping out. But right now I'm like, oh yeah, let those guys do whatever they want.
Yeah.
We got Metroid Prime 4.
It's like the Pac-Man versus thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just icing on the cake.
Nintendo and Namco teamed up. Here is Pac-Man.
So we're getting a Star Fox Racing game. What about F-Zero?
Yeah,
that's one.
Yeah, Casey.
All right, that's actually
the knife.
That's a perfect segue to lead us straight into our next topic here. So like I said before at the beginning of the show, Nintendo has filed some trademarks, a total of 15 of them in Japan, all of which are for English language named games or franchises, with the exception of Super Smash Brothers. So I'm just going to quickly read off a couple of interesting ones here. We got Super Smash Brothers, Star Fox is a trademark that was refiled, F-Zero, Pikmin, Yoshi's Island, Art Style was apparently trademarked.
Yep.
Flipnote Studio, Sin and Punishment, which is really cool. The legendary Starfly, Starfy. Nintendogs, Link's Crossbow Training. I don't know why, but okay.
Wii
Fit, Wii Music, Wii Play, Wii Sports. So people are sort of speculating, are these is this Nintendo's E3 lineup? Is this what we can expect?
No.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Pear.
Do you want to know what's going on?
Yeah.
You have to renew trademarks. Exactly. Otherwise, you're unable to defend these brands. And when they get copied and, Nintendo deals with this, especially overseas in China with their franchise being copied and being turned into little playable devices, you don't have a legal leg to stand on. And so what, as a company, you have to do constantly is renew these trademarks. And by the way, it's cheap. It's not like we're not talking about thousands of dollars. Like it's cheap to renew a trademark, but you have to demonstrate that you also use those trademarks.
That's true.
And so that's where it gets tricky. And so that I thought it was interesting that they renewed the trademarks for Wii Fit, Wii Music, Wii Play, Wii Sports instead of just focusing on the Wii part. Mm-hmm. Does this mean they're going to have a Wii collection? Like, is there some sort of
maybe down the road?
Because like if you can renew these trademarks, but how do you demonstrate that you kept these franchises alive?
I feel like some of these could be like Smash trophies or something like that. You know what I mean?
You could do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's an easy way to show that you're still using the mark. Maybe the Wii's still selling in some markets. And so it's a no-brainer to renew this. But Sin and Punishment was kind of cool. I mean, it's also easy. Like sometimes when you don't have any plans to tap into a franchise again, it's also fine to just kind of let it lapse. And the fact that they don't let it lapse is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever? Do you guys remember that game?
Oh, yeah. You know, I love that game. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was that's an awesome game. I love the Wii one also. I'm totally forgetting the name of it. It was just announced today. It's a port of a Wii game made by Namco. It's like this massive open world vacation game.
Go Vacation.
Go Vacation. Yeah. That's what it is. That was like one of those weird games that was just, and like Deca Sports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was just always in like the top 10 best selling games on Wii for a while. And you're like, you know, who's buying this stuff? And then just bringing that stuff over to Switch, mm-hmm. there will be an audience for it.
Yeah.
Like I said before, Tropical Freeze, it's a port of a Wii game. They sold it for $59.99. It's outsold the Wii U, or a port of a Wii U game.
Right.
It's outsold that game already on Switch in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
People want to buy games on Switch. And so mm-hmm. I think even bringing some of these over, I doubt Link's Crossbow Training will be one of them. That is so sort of deeply connected to that peripheral.
Yeah.
It's also something we're all trying to forget. That and Wii Music, I'd be happy to never see that again.
Wii Music.
Go away.
That's just like mean.
That was it.
Bad.
Don't remind us. But like, Starfy is one of those characters that feels like should be bigger.
Yeah.
And that Nintendo should put more work into it. And Nintendogs is like this confounding game where like, when we first heard about, Nintendo going into mobile, we all thought, oh, Nintendogs. Perfect.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Perfect for iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Put that out there. And we haven't heard anything about this franchise outside of Smash Brothers inclusion, mm-hmm. of course.
That would be such an easy win for them on Switch too. It's got the touch screen. It's portable. You bring it anywhere. You know, if just taking one of those old games and porting it over would be really smart.
Are you a fan? Did you play Nintendogs?
Yeah, it was really cute. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Yeah,
it was fun. I didn't sink a bazillion hours into it, but I played a few hours.
You like dinosaurs better than dogs? Okay.
You know, this is very specific. But my problem with Nintendogs is that like the better your dog got at being a dog, the longer his walks were.
Yeah.
And so like you would take him out for a walk and it would take like 40 minutes and then he would poop and also find presents and you'd get like a Mario hat. Very specific problem, but you know, that's really just kind of the stuff that keeps me going at night.
Yeah, this really keeps you awake, huh?
That's it, really. So yeah, bring back the Chihuahua and friends.
All right.
Big fan.
Okay, so in case you guys haven't heard the news, I just want to quickly tell you all, Mario Tennis Aces is getting a demo on Switch next week. So you'll be able to download the demo starting Thursday, May 24th, and you'll be able to choose between Mario, Peach, Yoshi, and Bowser, and compete online in an online tournament that is going to start off on June 1st at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and it'll run until Sunday, June 3rd. Until 11:59 Pacific as well. So the demo is playable offline. You can just, you know, play it at your own pace whenever you want, but they will be holding this tournament online, similar to like what, you know, the ARMS test punch was, or the
Splatoon
test fire. Is that what they called it?
Yep.
I think so.
Yeah. Something like that. It's
Splat
cool.
Fest.
Splat. No, that's,
no, that was the other thing. Yeah.
That's what happens every month. Yeah.
thank you.
Yes. The test, I think it was the test fire, but, yeah. So check it out. I mean, Mario Tennis Aces, the closer we get to that game, I'm super excited about it. I can't wait to play it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's B-roll going on there. This is from the Japanese trailer that dropped like 2 days ago, so it's all pretty fresh stuff going on. Are you guys looking forward to it?
Yeah, these games are always really good mechanically, but after the last one, I think we were all clamoring for more depth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can they add all the cool stuff that makes you want to come back to this one?
Yep.
It looks like already from the trailers, it looks like it has more variety than the last one, which is nice.
So the last Mario Tennis I played was on the Nintendo 64.
Oh, wow. So it's been a while. So you played the good one.
Yeah. I played a lot of the Nintendo 64
that's great. Yeah. But look, I like lawns.
This one looks beautiful. Like the graphics are really great.
And there's your man, Brian.
I just had like this. Waluigi. I was just like, wow, how does the ball bounce on grass? And then I was like, oh, a cloud is filming the match. Of all the things to hone in on.
Look at that craziness. Boom. Like that's very,
I'm happy that they're putting out a demo for this game. Cause I think I think a lot of people are probably where we are on this, where we're like cautiously optimistic, maybe a little apprehensive, and getting to play it for a little bit. I'll know within 5 minutes whether this is something that I'm going to really like. And I think I will.
I feel like every single time Nintendo puts out a demo for one of their official games, their first party games, they're pretty confident about it.
I think so too.
They just want people to get a taste of it so that they can jump into the whole thing.
Yep.
So that's what it seems like with this one as well. But yeah, let's go ahead and swing over to our leading games, some of the games releasing this week, which is the pick of the week this week is, not surprisingly to most of you probably, Hyrule Warriors. The return. It's the definitive edition now. It's going to be coming out on Friday, which is today if you're watching on YouTube, or tomorrow if you're watching live on IGN.com, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m.
Good
Eastern
plug.
Time. Make sure you catch the show a day early here with us on IGN. Casey, you actually reviewed Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition.
I played a ton of Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U. I kind of skipped the 3DS version because I already played it on the 3U, and the performance issues on the 3DS really.
And you didn't have you didn't have a new 3DS?
I did. It ran better on that. And
it's still not great, right?
Yeah, still not great. And I already had it on the Wii U, and you can play couch co-op on the Wii U as well. So the 3DS didn't have all the things I wanted. Mm-hmm. These kind of games are just so much more fun when you have someone else to play with.
Really?
Because, well, they can get kind of monotonous and repetitive because, I mean, it's a Dynasty Warriors game. But when you have someone to play with, not only do you have someone to interact with, but you can split up and do separate tasks at the same time. Like, for example, Philip and I were streaming yesterday, and I was playing a mission by myself, and I was in one corner of the map, and all the way on the opposite side of the map, one of my commanders was getting badly injured. So I had to choose whether to try and finish defeating the boss or to go all the way back, help them, and then go back to the boss.
Or call a friend.
But you can't start someone in the middle.
Oh yeah, you don't have drop mission. And go up. But,
yeah, there's no drop and go up, unfortunately. If you start a mission without them, that's it.
That's it.
But then played co-op and
then you could send someone, you could split up. And of course, if you are able, so for example, if you're looking at the screen right now, you can sometimes have multiple characters under control at a time. And in this game, they took these features from the 3DS version and Fire Emblem Warriors, where you can command your other characters to go do something without you, which is a really great and needed feature that the Wii U version did not have.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you only have one playable character in a mission, you don't really have that option.
So let me ask you, because it's, first of all, this is one of the only Warriors games that I put like a significant amount of time in, because I love Zelda, and I've always said like it has to take the right franchise for me to connect with it.
Yeah.
But I at some point stopped playing it on Wii U. I think something else came up or I got bored. Remind me, what is the sort of like the hook of continuing to play? Like, is it costumes? Is it characters? Is it like unlockable stuff like that? Cause kind of running through the areas was like, okay, it's pretty fun. And you fight a couple recognizable bosses and then some new ones. But is that really what it's all about as a Zelda fan?
So there's a ton of stuff to unlock. Did you play any of the adventure mode map?
Yes, I think I did.
So that's where the game really hooked me. The story mode is interesting.
Story's okay.
Yeah. It's fine. Like, the cutscenes are cool and there's a lot of fan service, but it's nothing spectacular.
And this has all the DLC stuff in it, so it's really loaded with fan service.
Yeah, right. There's a ton of stuff.
The stuff that like was exclusive to the 3DS version, the Wind Waker stuff, right?
Yeah, it has Wind Waker epilogue, and it has a Majora's Mask epilogue, and I think a Link Between Worlds epilogue as well.
There's Link's Awakening stuff in here too, right?
Yeah, there's a map.
We're gonna get Breath of the Wild stuff.
So yeah, so you actually automatically have costumes from Breath of the Wild already unlocked.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but another thing with the definitive edition of Hyrule Warriors is that all of the characters you unlocked by playing through the story mode in the Wii U version are automatically unlocked from the start. So you beat the first mission, and then if you play in free mode or adventure mode, you can choose all of these characters without having to finish the story mode.
Wait, is it reading your Wii U save file?
No, they just give it to you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was like, how are they?
So as a returning player, you don't have to, like, Mario Kart has a lot of stuff unlocked on Switch,
And my favorite part about this game is the adventure mode maps, because they're a lot more challenging. The tasks are way more varied. You have more variety of characters to choose from, and the stuff that you unlock is just way more, it's just better. It has way more incentive because you're unlocking new weapons for your characters. You're unlocking better weapons. You're unlocking heart pieces and costumes, and you're getting clothing and your fairy companions and clothing and food for your fairy companions that you can't unlock in the story mode.
Yeah, adventure mode is like really the reason why I really enjoyed my time with this game, and I enjoyed it a lot more than story mode itself, because adventure mode fixes a lot of the problems that I feel like story mode had.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like the length of the missions, they're so long. They're like 20 to 30 minutes if you're playing by yourself. Maybe you can get through them like shorter if you're playing co-op.
I think that's what kind of pushed me away a little bit, was that like it's a very samey game as you're playing it, right?
Yeah.
You're not like, first of all, for the uninitiated, this is not your typical Zelda game. I feel like I have to say that.
It is
is a Musou game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dynasty Warriors.
Which means beat up lots of samey enemies over and over with cool combos and crazy stuff happening.
Like, if you bought a Switch for Breath of the Wild and you're like, this Zelda stuff's pretty cool, what else are they doing over here? This is completely different than any of those games. So it's important to say that. It's much more arcadey. It's not about dungeons. It's not about breakable weapons and traversing weird environments and climbing Death Mountain and killing Ganon and stuff like that. Although there's some of that stuff. But yeah, I found the missions to be a little long, so that's cool to hear that.
Yeah, they're
and
much
also,
shorter.
Like you had mentioned earlier too, Casey, like the adventure mode like tasks you with different objectives, so you're not just like rush to the next boss and take him down and, you know, conquer this enemy campsite or whatever. Yeah. Like you actually have these shorter but interesting things to do along the way. And then as you complete them, you unlock more of the adventure map. And there's just a ton of fan service there because it looks a lot like classic NES Zelda, like the Legend of Zelda original one. So it's really cool. It also has amiibo support too, right?
Yeah, which is you can unlock really cool weapons. You always explain this better than I do, Philip. So you go for it.
I practiced. So you can use up to 5 amiibo per day, which is a little limiting, but it's still okay because the weapons that they
give you.
Doctors
say you should only use 5.
But you can use 5 amiibo per day, and they favor like Zelda amiibo already. Like, so if you have a Link amiibo, you can use that one, but you can only use 1 Link amiibo per day. Like, so if you have a Breath of the Wild one, then you can't use your like Ocarina or Smash one or something like that. And then they'll give you like a 4-star, 5-star weapon or whatever piece of gear to go along with it. But also if you don't have any Zelda amiibo, maybe you just have Mario, or like Splatoon amiibo lying around, then those will work too. You just won't get as many great drops. So
do you get to keep the items that you've scanned in?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
Definitely.
So I'll be at Pear's desk a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, come on by.
Come on
man.
Down to Pear's desk and scan all his amiibo.
Use my giant Pikachu.
5 per day.
Get
please.
Yourself a lame weapon.
I wonder what the cereal box gives you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it'll give you anything delicious. Special. I've tried a bunch of different ones.
No, I'm gonna play this game again now that it's on the Switch. When I saw you guys playing co-op, it does run much nicer in co-op this time around.
It is.
So, yeah.
It's
so much better.
Not sped up, but it runs smoother. And I missed a bunch of the DLC last time around. So, I'm checking this out.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's still, I feel like Fire Emblem is the better Warriors game. I'm actually curious to see what's next after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is definitely an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you, sorry to cut you off.
You can go.
For those of you wondering too, it's running in 1080p. When you're playing docked, 720p undocked, and also 60 frames per second docked and undocked, which is really nice.
Yeah. And it actually runs really smoothly co-op, even in handheld mode, which I did not expect at all.
That rules.
Except the screen is really small, so it's really hard to play it like that regardless, but you can do it if you really want to.
If you want to be Karen, you can be Karen.
And it is also cool to have a Dynasty Warriors that does incorporate so many elements from the franchise it's pulling from. Like, for example, when you're fighting Dodongo, you have to throw bombs into its mouth when, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't played Ocarina of Time yet.
or any Zelda game.
But a lot of those bosses have that kind of gimmick to them where you can like use a hook shot on a flying enemy to bring them down faster and just things like that.
There's also really in the way like the map and the quests unfold and stuff like that in the menus, there's a lot of like 8-bit Zelda sprites and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, the artwork's really cool.
Yeah. That's what really attracted me was like there's this like kind of map that you can look at that has all these nods to classic Zelda games. It's basically this big mixtape of Zelda stuff.
Yeah. Those are
cool.
The adventure mode maps, and they have one for all of the different Zelda games that are kind of incorporated into Hyrule Warriors. You have a Termina map from Majora's Mask, and you have a Lorule map from A Link Between Worlds, and you have a bunch of remixed music from all of these games as well, which is really just fun to listen to.
And Linkle.
No, yeah. And honestly, I really like playing as Linkle. She's super strong.
Yeah,
she's
the female Link.
The female Link. She thinks she is the hero. And goes off to help Hyrule Castle, and then she keeps going the wrong way. Never gets there. Sweet, I don't know, maybe exactly. Not. Who knows?
Nice.
So we got special sort of permission to talk about this next game. It's actually releasing next week, this coming Tuesday, but Runner 3 is a game that I know Brian and I have been playing it a lot. Have you gotten a chance to play it at all, Pear? So yeah, this is, it's coming out on May 22nd, Tuesday. It's more BitTrip Runner, essentially, just like a next generation, way more pretty game, very cool rhythm, sort of like an endless runner. Brian, go ahead and open it up.
Yeah, it plays kind of like an endless runner, but there's a defined goal at the end of every level.
Right.
So it's somewhere between an endless runner and say something like Super Mario Brothers, right? Like you have to get to the flagpole at the end and then you win. And then collecting things along the way is something that is kind of optional, but also kind of heavily implied that you should be doing. I like this game a lot. It's very tough. I will put that out there right now. If you were looking, there are a lot of very little baby platforming games on Switch. This is not one of them. This is a tough game. Yeah. I dig it for that reason. If you like the minecart levels in Donkey Kong Country,
it looks
this
like Crash.
Oh my God. Yeah. So this is effectively an entire game based on like those kind of levels. And you play as Runner, and you can play as a boy or a girl Runner, and you basically can unlock different costumes and accessories for your character. And going through each level, and collecting 100 gold bars, is something that you're sort of pushed to do. And once you do that, you can go through and play kind of slightly remixed version of each level where you have to collect gems as well. And collecting 100 of each one on each side, or 50 gems and 100 gold bars, 100% the level. Plus there's like little secrets and stuff you can get inside them. There's hidden characters like Shovel Knight and possibly Charles Martinet or Mario or Charles Martinet himself. I'm not sure yet.
All these spoilers, Brian.
I know. Well, we've heard a lot about these things leading up to the development of this game.
Nice.
Within all this too, there's also an unlockable mode that's kind of like a vintage retro mode where you can, control your character from left to right and use attacks and stuff like that, and it feels more like a traditional platforming game. Again, this game is very tough. It's taking a sort of artistic new direction from some of the other Runner games.
It looks so different too, from itself even. Like it left the kind of retro look behind too.
Yeah, it doesn't really have that pixel art look anymore. And it took me a minute to warm up to that because I feel like it's very busy at times. Mm-hmm. Like you'll shoot out of a cannon and a pig will fly by and all these crates will burst open. And you're trying to like kind of be like, I need to land there, I need to jump there, I need to collect the gold over there. And it, like on a very rudimentary level, it feels almost something like an Endless Runner or like Flappy Bird or something like that. But that's such a
good comparison.
Well, yeah. And so I feel like that's such a simplified way of explaining this game, because you start this game with like a jump, right? Mm-hmm. You run automatically and you jump in the air and you're like, oh, I got this. Okay. Yep. And they're like, now you gotta slide too. And you're like, okay, I can do some sliding. And they're like, then you have to kick through walls. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can do that. And they're like, oh, you also have to jump on these designated pads and then do wall jumps and stuff like that. And the music's really good and really catchy. So after a while, you find yourself like not only kind of like nodding to the beat, but making your moves based on every single drum hit, every synth, and finding these combinations of like slides and hops and jumps and wall kicks and kick through doors and all this ninja stuff you end up doing. And it gets like really intense to the point where you have to kind of like, it feels Guitar Hero-y, where if you look away or you miss a beat or you miss something like that, it all falls apart. So
nice.
It's tough. It's definitely based on perfectionism if you really want to get in there. But I like it a lot. And I think we have an official review coming from IGN in a few days.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Look out for that.
Sounds cool.
Before we talk about this last game here, I do want to remind everyone, we're going to do some question block questions. So drop your questions in the chat. I'm going to try and dedicate at least 5 minutes to go through them. So make sure you ask us anything you want, what we'd like to see at E3, maybe some Pokemon questions or Star Fox questions, anything that you heard on the show today.
We got to do some rapid fire answers.
Yeah,
do it.
Exactly. But another game that actually released today, Thursday, May 17th, is Yonder for Nintendo Switch. Now, this is a game that I actually completed it. I beat it.
What? Really?
Yeah, I beat
the
whole game.
Oh, wow.
I didn't 100% it, but I beat it. Yeah. And it's cool. It's like this like hybrid Zelda meets Stardew Valley type game, but it's not quite as deep as Stardew Valley. mm-hmm. is. Like people, like I know people who have dedicated their lives to Stardew Valley.
I don't know what that is.
Which you could essentially 100% this game in about, I would say, 25 hours, maybe 30 hours.
Yeah. What I like about this game is it's incredibly chill. So Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, which is kind of a mouthful, is a game about a sort of kid that is in this kind of open worldish town slash valley slash mountain range, and you have to collect things and hunt and gather and fish and build shelter and interact with people all around the town, and it's just really relaxing.
Very relaxing.
And it's beautiful.
There's no combat at all in this game. Yeah, yeah. It's all about crafting. It's all about farming as well. So like, as much time as you put into the game will give back to you. It's like essentially one of those games. Mm-hmm. So you can essentially go out and, there's a big world map. It's an open world game. And you can plant, farms in different sections that later act as fast travel plots, which is how you fast travel throughout the game. But you know, you don't just make a farm and then walk away from it. Like you can actually plant crops in there. You can charm like animals, like you were just seeing in the trailer there, and bring them back to your farm and like, you know, have different varieties. And
but it's very light on combat, so it's not like a Wind Waker game.
Zero
there's
combat,
like
yeah.
nothing. Like there's no threat. It's just kind of
you can't die. No.
Yeah. So yeah, it is more like the farming games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. It's it's a lot of fun. It's also very beautiful. It runs pretty well on Switch. Now it's not asking a lot out of, you know, the graphics processor or anything like that, but it is like literally probably one of the more interesting like Zelda-like games I've played on Switch.
Yep.
Now it's not amazing. It's not gonna like, you know, blow everyone's mind, but it's still a game that kept me long enough to finish it to completion. So it's cool. And also the different areas are very interesting. Like, there's a lot of variety. There's like snowy areas. There's grasslands. There's like an ocean town. There's a lot of like different, factions. I don't want to call them factions because they're not really factions in the game, but that type of thing that you can join, like where you can join a guild, like a cooking guild or an alchemy guild. There's this random town that turns into Halloween town at night that you can go trick or treating in, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's doing a lot of interesting things.
Yeah. So that's Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles.
Yes.
Go check it out.
Exactly. So we got some questions here, coming in from the chat. Let's see what's a good one here. All right, Slapjacks and Ham. Great name, by the way.
Together at last.
Yes. He asks, how likely is it that we will hear anything about Animal Crossing for Switch at E3?
We better.
Ooh,
guys, that's a threat.
If we're hearing about like F-Zeros and Pokemons in addition to Smash, I don't know if we'll hear about Animal Crossing.
Really?
Yeah. I was pretty confident that Animal Crossing is up for renewal.
You think it's a 2019 game at this point? Do you think they have enough this year?
It'd be awesome.
It'd be awesomer if it was a 2018 game.
I don't think it's this year.
You don't think so? I think you're probably right. They're not going to put this up against, you know, Smash Brothers and Pokemon, but yeah. I think this is like the perfect summer game. Mm-hmm. Like if they just drop this in July,
that would be a big surprise if this popped out. But yeah, I mean, we've heard mumblings of other Nintendo games that are coming out, and like Animal Crossing is never mentioned as part of that kind of mumble list, which makes me a little worried that we won't see it for a while.
They also released their mobile.
Yeah, I want one.
They released their mobile game this year too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So it's like maybe they're trying to spread that
is
out
that
a little
this
bit.
Year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our
thoughts on that before, we thought Nintendo would do kind of tie them together, right?
Right.
That you'd have a mobile game and they would help it to bolster the popularity of a Switch game. And that never happened. Like they just kind of
not yet
put these out separately. It's not like Fire Emblem synced up with Fire Emblem. Well, we'll probably see more Fire Emblem for Switch this year, but that's gotta come out. Come on.
Louis B2K has a great question. What kind of potion is Brian drinking today? Is it alcoholic, and did he wear pants today?
I did not, and once again, it is not alcoholic. It's an iced coffee. And
like
I'm
it always
kidding.
Is.
And I can confirm Brian is not wearing pants.
How exotic. Not wearing pants. I'm wearing a long
it's
a
very
kilt.
Distracting.
It's a very long kilt. It's about 15 feet
How much
long.
Coffee do you drink in the course of the day?
I drink 2 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon.
Okay. That's not too bad.
And then 6 when I get home.
Okay. That's too bad.
Red One asks, what special edition Switch or Joy-Cons do you want to see announced at E3?
Ooh.
I wonder if we will get any sort of Joy-Con announcement.
NES, come on. With the launch of the online service, you want the NES game. And let's be honest, we want a D-pad. We don't want the janky split buttons. I run into this all the time when I play puzzle games on the go. I don't want to use the stick.
God, I'm so jealous of those.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, we need a D-pad one. By the way, there's a, you guys know about the Hori controller, right? Out in Japan that has a D-pad, but you can't take it off. It doesn't have Bluetooth. And so that's gotta be the next special one.
Yep. And then last question here from Dr. MG. What third party game do you really want announced for Switch at E3?
Third party game.
Oh, yeah. Fortnite.
Fortnite?
Yeah.
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 That's kind of a no-brainer. Fortnite. Yeah. That'd be
it
big.
It is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I thought that was already happening.
No.
No.
Not yet.
Yeah. I know this is really slim at this point, especially because literally no one has talked about this except me, once.
tell us more.
Yes. But if you want a big scoop, no. I would love to see Borderlands 3.
Oh, yeah.
Come to Switch. I think that would be such a cool game. I think they could totally do it. Especially if they're using Unreal Engine 4, which we know works well on Switch. So I wouldn't mind playing like a, 540p version of it.
What do you want,
on Switch?
I just hear a buzzing noise.
Okay, that's in your head.
It's from all your copies. Second eye. Okay, that's so weird. You heard that, right?
I heard it.
You guys heard it, right?
No.
I want, this is such a like deep cut left field. I want a Killer 7 remake.
Ooh,
the GameCube game. Yeah. I want Suda51 to put that game on Switch.
Okay.
And I want to play it again.
We'll make that happen.
Okay, please do.
And now Monster Hunter, isn't it?
We're already getting it, a Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
But
for the Switch.
Yeah, but
Monster Hunter World on the Switch would obviously be the best one.
Mm-hmm.
What are you playing right now? What are you working on for your wikis?
I just finished Cyber Wars. I'm working on Fortnite for wikis.
There you go.
I started playing a game that is not covered here, and it's called Smite.
Okay. Yeah. Would you like Smite on the Switch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There is a MOBA coming to Switch pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
It's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It should be cool.
League of Legends.
Don't look at me.
League of Legends for Switch.
Yeah. No. It's China's biggest MOBA.
Yeah.
Paladins?
Yes. No.
No.
That's not. But that's a likely one, no? Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll
just
let you know.
MOBA.
We're so informed today.
On next week's episode. But yeah, that is our show this week. Thank you guys very much for joining us, for watching, listening. You can catch us every week on IGN.com on Thursdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, or you can watch us on YouTube every Friday at youtube.com/NintendoVoiceChat. The episode usually goes up around 2 or 2:30, so keep an eye out for it there. But be cool and catch it a day early on IGN.com.
Yes.
Like you should. We're also available on all of your favorite podcast listening services as well. So with that, thank you guys very much for joining me this week. And
thank you to
the back room we have there. Can you guys cut to your cam real quick and say hi to everyone? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
This is a great episode.
The real stars. The real stars of NBC back there. Thank you, guys.
I'm
and
thanks
you. Thank you as well to the chat. It was great talking with you guys this week as well. It's just awesome to see such a great turnout come out every single week. So with that said, we will see you next week.
Get the thing, guys.
Go get it.
Bye. Listen.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.